We came then to this chapter in Ephesians 5 to look at the call to be filled with the Spirit, and that we can't live the Christian life, whether in church or in the public or in our homes, unless we are men and women who know what it is to live in the Spirit, not after the flesh, but walking after the Spirit. Today we move on a little bit and we want to look at what it looks like to live as husband and wife. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if God had provided for us a model couple? Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. And today we're getting back to the subject of husbands and wives living together in harmony with the blessing of God. And the Apostle Paul's recipe for that is to live in the Spirit. Now I want to read to you the Apostle's words in Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every man, every one of you in particular, so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Well, here are the Apostle Paul's words to the Christian, and they are for us today, and they're to be applied in our marriages. And today, from the pulpit of our church, we get into what is involved of having this unity, this oneness in marriage. Stay tuned as we let the Bible speak from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. This oneness of Christ and the church will control the whole purpose of submission. Now, without the picture of the church, this whole matter of submission doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Can we blame modern women or women of the 21st century who have a problem with this matter of submission? When we see the brutal leadership that comes from ungodly men, sinful men, and in cultures and religions that demonstrate male dominance that is nothing more than brutality. Can you blame any woman who says, I'm scared about this whole matter of submission, and I oppose it, when you recognize the horrific and the devilish idea of men abusing their wives? And I have to address this because it's in the newspapers every day. We as the Christian church have to face reality, the world we're living in. And I'm to preach on this matter of submission according to the Apostle Paul and the Word of God, and say to a Christian woman here today, you're to submit to your husbands. But what about all of this wickedness and dominance of men that is just so horrific? And then there are revelations of abuses and institutions and homes, and some of them are religious, and some of them are even Christian. How can you preach submission? It's almost a rare thing today to find the genuine Christian leadership. And let me assure you, that whether it is religious or Christian or cultural, everything that is smacks of brutality and ugliness is not the Christianity of the Bible, is not the marriage picture that is given for God's people in His Word. The true model is Christ and the church. The love that was sacrificial, the love that was selfless, the love that wanted to be a blessing and to build up, present spotless to the Father, that is the love to which anyone is submitting. And so we have to think of the parallels that come from this model. And we ask, in what ways does the church submit to the Lord Jesus? And as we see that, then we will understand the ways in which husbands and wives submit to one another. Well, submission is the church's response to the love of Christ. After all, the Lord had to woo us. The Lord had to win our hearts. Grace does not force. Grace does not operate with a big stick, driving people into acceptance of Christianity and the gospel. Grace wins our hearts. Grace melts us and moves us into genuine love for the Savior. Likewise, there is that love and that wooing of a husband for his wife that moves her and which pleases her and assures her of that gentle and that good and gracious love. And she submits to that tenderness, that loving kindness of a future husband or her own husband. We know too that the church takes on the Lord's name. You call yourself a Christian, a Christ one. What a privilege. Have you ever thought about that? The privilege of calling yourself a Christian. We were born the sons of Adam, in shame and in disgrace. We were born filthy and polluted. We were far from God. Indeed, we were rebellious to God. But now, as the bride of Christ, the Lord gives us His name, which honors us and exalts us. And likewise, when a young woman marries, she takes on the name of her husband, and it becomes the name of her new identity. And so the whole ethos and the attitude of marriage is for a wife to support her husband in a way that will bring honor to that name. Now that I'm a Christian, I must honor the name of Christ. My whole walk, my whole desire, my whole focus is as a testimony. I want my life to shine for Jesus and glorify Him. And I submit to that. I delight in that. Likewise, a wife, when she is called to submit to her husband in all things, she is taking delight in the new name, the honor, the dignity, the standing that she now possesses, and she becomes a helpmeet to her husband. That word helpmeet you get in Genesis, right at the very beginning. God said, I will make a helpmeet. It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. And then taken out of his rib to be the complement to his loneliness, God created a wife. And so in that manner, wives submit to your own husbands. And the wife taking her husband's name bears his testimony. She declares her loyalty as well as her love. And her purity or morality will make or break his name. You think of a young man taking a wife. She will either make his name or break his name. And as she walks in loyalty and love, as she honors her husband, she will make his name to shine. The proverb tells us that a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is rottenness to his bones. And so we've got to get this submission in the picture of Calvary and of the Lord's wonderful love for his church. And just as we as Christians responded to that love, we said, yes, I delight in Jesus' death and love for me. The bride accepts the love, the care, the dignity, the honor of her husband and all that he is. One more thing on this point of submission here. The church enjoys all the riches and the benefits of Christ as Lord and Savior. When I became a Christian, I gained all the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. All of His standing. I became a joint heir with Christ. You can read of that in Romans 8. This is one of the wonders of being a Christian, being a child of God, of being united to Jesus, the Son of God, as a joint heir with Him. And likewise, in marriage, wife, you become a joint heir. And there are legal aspects to the whole marriage contract. All that he is and all that he owns, assets, property, everything, there is a legal aspect to your standing and your joint heirship with him. And only the Christian woman who knows the gospel, that model of Christ and his church, will comprehend the spiritual meaning of that submission. You see, I don't expect the ungodly 21st century woman, the modern woman, going to university, educated, listening to all the liberal ideas of the world, to say, "Oh, I just love to be in submission." You're not going to find that in the world. This is a Christian marriage we're talking about. A Christian home. And it's therefore Christian submission to the love of a husband who is a Christian man and whom you delight to bestow with your very name, your testimony, and enjoy all that is yours in him with joyfulness. And the other thing I want to point out, that you do so willingly. Notice how the apostle puts this in verse 22. He says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands." Now, did you notice that he said, "Submit yourselves"? That's a voluntary act. If you go to chapter 6, 1, when Paul is speaking to parents and children, he says, "Children, obey your parents." And then later on down, "Servants," verse 5, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters." Wives, submit yourselves. You see, a child is born into the home, and he has no option to obey his own parents. He can't choose his parents. In the days of servitude and even slavery in the Roman world, slaves didn't choose who bought them or who owned them or who commanded them. But wives, you do choose. You do make a choice. Submit yourselves. And there is a voluntary aspect. And that's what makes it beautiful. That's what makes it blessed. That's what makes it rich and full of love. Not driven, but drawn. Not rushed, but melted. And you yielded to the love of your own husband. In that sense, the Bible talks about the woman is the glory of the man. And you know, that's why the Bible says, when a husband findeth a wife, he finds a good thing. Bear the grammar there, a wonderful person. A husband is blessed to find such a wife. And the reason is, of course, that God intended this from creation. God made a wife for Adam to be the helpmeet that would be the complement to the man. And it's not good for man to be alone. And man is imperfect without his wife. And the wife is not inferior. I think this has to be underlined in the Christian message. I don't think any woman here today does feel inferior. I don't get a hint of it. But you must know that the gospel treats male and female equally. We are all one in Christ Jesus, male and female. When the Holy Spirit was poured out in the book of Acts and Pentecost, the Spirit of God came upon men and women. Women are not set aside. They are very much included in the whole ministry of the Lord's church. Now that brings me to the last part of what ought to control us in marriage. This oneness of Christ in the church will control the love and care the husband gives to his wife. See how balanced this is? Do you see the treatment that is given here earlier to the wives, but the vast amount of emphasis is upon the husband and his role
Verse 25 through 30 shows the role of the husband. And he's to understand the role of the husband to love his wife. And verse 25 ups the standard, even as Christ loved the church. And here is the example, the model for every husband to follow. And the first command, now notice it's a command. Husbands, it's not voluntary for us. Wives, submit themselves voluntarily. Husbands, you are commanded to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Now, a few things I want to point out about this kind of love, the way in which the Lord loved His church. The first thing I notice here is that He loved the church selflessly. He gave Himself. He put His wife first. He did not put Himself first. He left heaven's glory. He left all the splendor of heaven. Came down into this sinful world. Humbled Himself. And became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. That He might save His bride, the church. It was a sacrificial love. And the word sacrificial comes from sacrifice. And there, literally on the cross, the Lord became a sacrifice for His church. And here I can preach the gospel to some unsaved soul today. Jesus died for sinners. Jesus gave His body that ultimate price that He might purchase you out of iniquity into His family. And then in verse 23, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And then here is a very kind of odd statement. You won't find this very much in the Bible. And He is the Savior of the body. Now that word Savior is much more than just salvation. It means that He is the keeper, the protector, the provider of the body. And so you will see that the husband's care of his wife and his desire toward her is that she is protected, she's provided for, she is helped in every which way. And just as the Lord looks upon the church as the apple of His eye, a husband, a Christian husband, looks upon his wife as that one to protect, to care for, to enhance and help along the Christian pilgrimage. Your wife is your queen. Your wife is your other self. No man hated his own flesh, Paul says. And you're to love your wife even as yourself. And it's also an improving love. Because let's face it, we're all work in progress. When a young couple get married, they think they know each other. But married life together, they learn a whole lot more. But there is that desire to build up, to protect, and to guide in the ways of the Lord. The spiritual application of this is for a husband to see his wife grow Christ-like. That's the ministry of the husband to his wife. And as Christ is ministering to the church and is one day going to present the church spotless to the Father, without blemish, and provide His wife and present her as the glorious church. Husbands, what's the goal for your wife? To be a blessing to her, to build her up, to strengthen her and nourish her in the faith. Not demanding, that's dragging her down. But your whole relationship is to encourage, to strengthen, and to help. And my last thought is, it's a very personal love. If you look at verse 33, love his wife even as himself. Can't get more personal than that. You see, there is a task for you, husband, that truly no other man can do. You cannot say to your wife, oh, go talk to the pastor. You cannot say to your wife, oh, go and talk to your father. Go and talk to somebody else about that. No, you are the husband. And you, in Paul's language with a small s, are the Savior of the body. You are to be the helper, the guide, and the counselor along the way. Now, to fulfill this role, we need the help of God the Holy Spirit. We confess that we're weak. and we need to take this matter to prayer. And oh, what a wonderful thing in a Christian home to see man and wife on their knees praying together for grace to fulfill their roles as husband and wife, as Christ loved the church, as Christ redeemed the church, and will one day present her to the Father. And enjoy the power of the gospel in your marriage. That's the key. It's not rules and regulations. It's the gospel at work in your heart. It's the victory of Calvary, overcoming temptation. It's the victory and the power of Jesus' blood, saying, closing the door to the devil and every vile and hellish thing, that your home is a Christian home with all the grace and the help of heaven, and that you may live together in that true model of Christ and His church. One final word, and maybe I speak here to wives in particular. Be patient. No one marries into a perfect marriage day one. And over time, especially if we have come to Christ during our married years, it often can happen that one partner, one spouse, grows in grace rapidly. And you've got this zeal for the Lord. And you know, what's wrong with my husband? He's not zealous for the Lord. Or it can happen the other way. It's the husband's got all this zeal, and his wife knows these things and agrees with these things and goes along with them, but the fire of the Lord is not in the heart yet. Be patient. Be patient. More harm is done by driving things than by praying for them. And we are all a work in progress. We need to change and be conformed into the beauty and likeness of the Savior. And we need to be very patient with one another. And the Bible speaks about that patience. Wives, pray for your husbands. Be a model and a role to them. Don't be murmuring and complaining. Don't grieve and pull them down. And vice versa. And so I pray that God in His grace will make this real in our hearts and lives and homes, and that we will, by His power, live out this beautiful picture of Christ and the church. What a wonderful, wonderful privilege is given to each of us.
Once aimlessly I wandered, no hope within my soul, a vessel with no pilot's hand, no haven and no goal. I tried to find an answer to calm the troubled sea. I drifted with no sight of land till Jesus rescued me. He whispered, "Peace, be still," to me. My heart obeyed His will. His word made calm the rolling sea. When He said, "Peace, be still," and now I have a captain, He'll guide, I know He will. I've given Jesus full command, since He said, "Peace, be still." Oh, friend, if you are drifting, there's just one thing to do. Trust Jesus is the one demand. He'll whisper peace to you. Peace, be still to me. My heart obeyed His will. His word made calm the rolling sea. When He said, "Peace, be still."
for joining in. I hope that message has been a help. Now, ladies, I'm going to put the questions to you today. Yesterday, I put the questions to men. Today, for ladies, what is the place of the woman in the home? Now, we've learned here today that the woman is the glory of the man. We have learned that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. So, do you feel inferior? The Bible does not set the wife as inferior, but rather she is given honor in the role where she is under her husband. Now, many might think that's very old-fashioned thinking, but that is the biblical model. Just as the bride, the church, is under the headship of Christ, and that is an unchangeable model. And blessed is the home where women love their husbands, delight in their leadership, and support them all the way. Now, to balance that, we have learned today that the gospel treats male and female equally. They are all one in Christ Jesus. And there is no inferiority. There is no less importance. There is no less honor to God for the male or female, for the man or woman. The Holy Spirit fills each one, and the blessing of God is upon each one. And indeed, Christ puts his bride first. And every husband will put his bride first, her comfort, her interests, her care, and all her needs. And the Lord Jesus loved his bride with a sacrificial love. Now, ladies, rejoice in that. Seek that. Pray for that. Encourage your husband to step up to that and receive it willingly, that you might be blessed and that you might support your husband in that role. So, thank you for joining us here on the program. Again, feel free to give me a call. The announcements are coming up. Be in touch if I can be of any personal help.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.